بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحديث في اللاست عن أم المؤمنين ميمونة بنت الحارث رضي الله عنها أنها اعتقت وليدة ولم تستأذن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذه أم المؤمنين رضي الله عنها ميمونة رضي الله عنها she had freed a slave woman but she hadn't asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم any permission. She hadn't made mashura with Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام, thinking she is doing something good. As we explained yesterday, that in Islam it is encouraged, and Islam encourages the treating of slaves well, and also encourages a lot the freeing of slaves. In other words, as much as you can free as an ibadat, then people would free slaves to such an extent that one sahabi freed 40,000 slaves that he freed so that he can earn the rewards in the year after. So it was a good thing. It wasn't something that was not good. But as explained yesterday, that sometimes something may be good, but it doesn't mean that it's the best thing to do. There was an incident our Ustad mentioned to us, that one person, he was looking after his elderly mother, and taking care of her, because she was not well, she needed care, she was bedridden, etc. But for some time his children were encouraging him that let's go for Umrah. So now he didn't want to keep on telling them that it's my mother, because automatically it creates a little bit of animosity, enmity, that now because of your mother, the wife will say that because of the mother-in-law, and the children will say because of grandmother, daddy. So because of now to try and keep saving that instance where they keep blaming the daddy, that they can't go anywhere. So what he would tell them, he would tell the children and tell the wife, that things are a little bit bad, I can't afford to go right now for Umrah. So that excuse they would accept, palatable. Unfortunately, this situation we are living in, that if somebody is not well, that excuse we don't want to accept. But if financial conditions are not good, then they're accepting that. So he said for some time that excuse worked, until a time came when the wife and the children happened to see his bank statements. And now in the bank statements they saw that there's a very healthy balance in the bank account. So now they brought that and they approached him and they say, you're telling us things are bad, but there's so much of money in the account. So now he says he had no excuse. So what happened when the December period came? He booked that Umrah trip. And what he did was he got a caregiver to come and look after his mother. But all this was done without any mashura. Just explaining what happens when a person does things without mashura. He's doing something good. He's being taking the family and he's going for Umrah. It's something that is good, but it wasn't the best thing to do at that time when the mother needed attention. So this is what he did. He got a caregiver to look after the mother, and he booked that Umrah trip and he took the family over the December, early January period. So it so happened that between that New Year, between the Christmas and the New Year period, that caregiver also thought, now I'm here the whole month, at least I can go visit my family. So she made some excuse and spoke to that elderly woman who said, okay, it's fine, you can go for a few days. And she went to spend some time with her family. So now this mother was all alone, nobody to take care of her. And when that caregiver came after a few days, knocking on the door, nobody would open, but she had a set of keys. So when she opened, she seen that this mother had passed away in that interim. In those few days, the mother had passed away and she was lying there. So she was very, very surprised and perturbed, etc. But now the mother had already passed away, nothing. So then she got contact with them overseas and explained to them that this is the situation, the mother had passed away and this is the story. So that person, he came and he explained the whole situation, that for the rest of my life I had to live with this guilt, that when my mother needed my attention the most, I wasn't there. So this is why this is very, very important, that a person maybe think he's doing something good, but even that good also is nice to do it with mashura. Am I doing the best thing? The example we gave of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, that he was inspecting the steeds, the horses of jihad, and because of that he missed something that was better, something that he would do every day, that istiqamah, that amal he used to do. He left that and he was doing this. So because of that he slaughtered all 100. Allah mentions after that, Allah Pak mentions, وَلِي سُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ غُدُوُّهَا شَهْرُ وَرَوَاحُ وَشَهْرُ. In return for that, because he chose the highest level, in other words, he was sad that he didn't choose the highest level, this is what Allah Pak replaced him with. He had slaughtered the horses, but Allah Pak had replaced him with a deck, a wooden deck. Himself and his followers would get onto the deck. وَلِي سُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ غُدُوُّهَا شَهْرُ. And in 1 hour they would travel the journey of 1 month. With the wind they would go almost like an aeroplane. In those days there was no aeroplane, but Allah Pak had created an aeroplane system for him. In 1 hour he would travel the journey of 1 month. In the morning this would happen, وَغُدُوُهَا شَهْرُ. In the afternoon, evening, this is the same situation. That 1 month's journey in 1 hour. This is what happens when a person leaves something that's good and he goes for something that is the best. But the only time a person will know is when he makes mashwara. So anyway, she freed the slave without making mashwara with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَكَانَ يُمُّهَا الَّذِي يَدُورُ عَلَيْهَا فِيهِ. When it was her turn for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to her, قَالَتْ أَشَعَرَتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ إِنِّي أَعْتَقْتُ وَلِيدَتِي. Then she tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you know that this slave woman I had, I freed her, I gave her for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ أَوَفَعَلْتِي. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, did you really do this? قَالَتْ نَعَمْ. She said, yes. قَالَ أَمَا إِنَّكِ لُوَأَعْطَيْتِهَا أَخْوَالَكَ كَانَ أَعْظَمَ لِأَجْرِكَ. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you had given this to your maternal uncles, perhaps they were in need of some assistance, some caregiver, somebody to give them that assistance, that help, etc. So if you had given this woman, this slave girl, this person, assistant, you had given her to them, you would have got more reward. Why? Because you have been showing kindness to your own family, which comes under this chapter that we're doing, maintaining family ties. So that's why Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi brought this hadith here, that you would have maintained family ties and you would have been given the sawab of charity. So two things you would have done, you would have got more reward than just freeing this slave like this. Today's hadith and Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhuma qalat, qadimat alayya ummi wa hiya mushrikatun fi ahdi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhuma, she was the sister of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, the consanguine sister of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Qalat, she says, in other words, the father was the same, but they had two mothers. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha had a different mother, and Hazrat Asma radiallahu anha had a different mother, but Hazrat Abu Bakr was their common father. So she says that my mother had come to me, wahiya mushrikatun, while she was still a mushrik. She wasn't a believer. In the treaty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a treaty of Hudaybiyah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba had signed with the Kufar of Makkah. And in this treaty, it was a pact. Certain terms and conditions, etc. were tied. But it was almost like a period wherein they wouldn't attack each other. So there was some time of peace. There was some type of agreement and regulations that they would follow. So now she is saying, Hazrat Asma radiallahu anhu, saying, my mother had come from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara where the Muslims were. But she was still a mushrika. Before that, she couldn't come because there was no peace treaty. There was no pact. But now because of this treaty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she had came from Makkah. Fastaftaytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She is saying that I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to seek mashura, to seek a fatwa, to ask him. Qultu qadimat alayya ummi wa hiya raghibatun. She said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my mother has come now from Makkah Mukarramah. She is still a mushrika. She hasn't accepted Islam. Wa hiya raghibatun. But she seeks some assistance from me. She seeks some help from me. Afa asilu ummi, should I maintain that contact with my mother? Should I maintain family ties? In other words, she's asking that my mother is not a Muslim. She has come from there. Must I still maintain family ties with such a person? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala na'am sil ummik muttafaqun alayh. He mentioned, yes, you should maintain your family ties with your mother. An ayat of the Quran, Allah Pak mentions, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِعِلْمٍ. If both your parents, in other words, they are non-Muslims, they try to cause you to ascribe a partner to Allah, to make shirk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you have no knowledge of, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Don't obey them in that. But very next part Allah says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. As far as living with them in this world is concerned, even though they are non-Muslims, and in this case they are asking you and instructing you and help and advising you to commit shirk, even in this case ayat is saying, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Live with them in this dunya in a very good, kind manner. In other words, despite them being non-Muslims, despite them forcing you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the highest level, then too you must live with them nicely. So this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, that despite this you should look after your mother. Now can you imagine where the mother was a mushrika, was living in another part of the kuffar, and the ayat of the Quran saying that despite them asking you, being non-Muslims, asking you to do the wrong thing, you have to be good, you have to still be good to them. Imagine that mother that grew up, and that father that grew this child up in Islam, grew this child up teaching them deen, grew this child up teaching them so much thing. How much more this child has to maintain the contact with the parents. So all this make us think that what status Allah Pak has given the parents in Islam, especially those parents who are old and sickly and in need of help, etc. What position Allah has given them in Islam. Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.